Face to face in all his glory. Tell me, who's excited for that day when we get to see Jesus face to face? Amen. Amen. I want to welcome everyone here today at Wantirna Church. It's great again to see your smiles, and it's great to be able to embrace you at least from a distance. I know that it is hard for some. I'm a Filipino, and so my natural urge is to hug everyone. I don't know about you. I can see a few out here who have the same urges too. But I know that it's only a little time until we can get back to normal somehow. I want to welcome those who are joining us online as well. It is great to have you all there as well. Before I start, I just want to say a huge thank you to Wantirna Church. You guys have been amazing during this week. For those who don't know, Maritza did get involved into a crash last week, and she has recovered so well that we are praising the Lord. There have been so many things that happened during that time, but we've had so many messages, so many people sending in their thanks and their thoughts. And we've even had some people who have stocked our freezer. That was amazing. And so we're still going through that food as well. And we want to thank you so much for the love that has been shown from the church. It is very exciting, and I'm also very nervous to be up the front. This is the first time that I've preached here at Wantirna since last year in March. It's been almost a year. And I've kind of forgotten what it feels like to preach to people who have an immediate reaction to what I say. So I know instantly whether I am funny or not, which is not a good thing, because when I'm preaching in front of a camera, I think I'm funny all the time. And so coming here, it is really cool to be here. And again, I know I want to get into my sermon, but I feel like I have to share this with you guys. I have been having an ongoing battle with my throat. Many of you guys do know that. I have a surgery date. Middle of May, which will be hopefully looking to fix the problems with my throat. So I've had a back and forth with some people. We've even considered maybe even stepping back from ministry for an allotted period of time. But as you will find out today, I'm trying to be creative. That's my daughter as well. And so she doesn't like my idea already. So I do, please bear with me as we go through the sermon. It'll be slightly different, but it does allow me to be able to preach with you today. So let's bow our heads and let's get into our message for today. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much for the time that we can spend with you here at church. We have been feeling maybe just a little bit distant from you, Lord. Maybe it's because we haven't been in church for so long. Maybe it's the disruption of what 2020 had to offer. Maybe we are closer to you. Everyone in this room here has a different relationship, but I pray that as we go through this sermon today, may we be able to feel closer to you, is my prayer in your name. Amen. Now, when it came to preaching in front of a camera, there was one kind of cool thing about being online all the time. I stepped into an op shop with Ruben, and I had never been into the store before, and this lady came up to me and said, "I've seen your face before." And I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "I know you from somewhere. You're a celebrity, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." We found out that she had been watching the Wantirna live stream. And she had been watching almost every week. She knows Yoshi back to front as well. And it's kind of a weird feeling having people come to you and know you a lot more than what you know about them. I had never seen her from a bar of soap. I didn't know her. I do know her now, and she's a lovely lady. But she knew so much about me and my life. She even knew the stuff on my wall in my room. Now, that's just weird, isn't it? Right? And so here, we have this kind of dichotomy where she feels like she knows me back to front, and yet she's never met me in person before. Can you think of anyone that you might have that relationship with? Who said that? Antoine. Jesus. Have you ever thought that maybe having a relationship with Jesus or with God is kind of like having a YouTube personality relationship? Right? You don't maybe know that person intimately.
You probably haven't even met them face to face. I mean, you think about Jesus and we think about God, and yes, we talk about meeting him face to face, but what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be face to face with God and have a real interaction with him? Today, I want to have a look at that. So I invite you, open your Bibles. We're going to have a look at the book of Isaiah. Actually, before we go to Isaiah, put your finger in there. We're going to look at John 17, verse 3, which Jackson read out for us. We're going to read that again. John 17, verse 3. There is a particular relationship that is super important for us that we must be able to maintain, and there are eternal consequences. John 17, verse 3, and it says this. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Very simple, straight to the point. But when you read it, you see some eternal implications for not following what is meant to be done in this text. We must know God, but when you look at the Greek and you understand the word for know, it's a special word, it's ginosko. What is ginosko? It's the same word where it said Adam and Eve knew each other and they had children. There is something intimate about knowing God that we must know before we can have some type of eternal life. And so now I want us to turn to Isaiah. We're going to have a look at the story of Isaiah. We've looked at it in the Sabbath school lesson this quarter, but I want us to look at it just one more time before the quarter is finished. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll look at the first 8 verses. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In this year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and 2 he flew. And one cried out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" This was Isaiah's conversion experience. Scholars believe that this was the moment Isaiah met God face to face. Here's a little tidbit for you. You look at Isaiah 6 and you think that he maybe had been in ministry for about 2 or 3 years. At this point in time, Isaiah had been ministering to Israel for 15 years, and he met God then. Now, the first part of the sermon is the kind of experimental part. I actually pre-recorded something for us to watch for about 5 minutes, and this will be part 1 of the sermon, so I hope that you will enjoy. Thanks, Alan.
Ever since my wife and I moved into this new house, we've been enjoying the light. It's kind of the reason why we wanted to move into this place in the first place.
And it's made me think about something. We take light, and more particularly the sun, for granted. I mean, we go to sleep every night and we wake up knowing that the sun will be there where we left it. And yet, the sun, without it, would cause us to die.
I mean, when you really think about the sun, you think about the fact that if we were a little bit closer to it, we would literally burn. And if we were this far away, we would totally freeze. And it made me just think that this ball in the sky that we take for granted, yes, it is warm and inviting. But yet when I really sit down and think about it, it is fierce and it is powerful. The sun that we take for granted really does mean more when we think about it, just a little bit more. Now consider this. Isaiah, when we get to him in chapter 6, has done 15 years in ministry. And you think that in chapter 6 he's only just started, but for many people 15 years in ministry can be more than half, if not all, of their ministry. And he only experiences God here in chapter 6. Isaiah says that he saw God high and lifted up. And here's the really amazing part. He saw angels that had 6 wings. And we think 6 wings, wow, these guys would be strong and powerful and they'd be moving through the wind. And yet we only realize after reading that 2 of those wings are for flying, but 4 are to protect themselves from God's holiness. Just think about that for a second. 2 wings that are used to cover the eyes and 2 wings to cover the feet, just because they're in the presence of God. Now, I don't know whether you have been able to see my fellow brothers in Africa pray, but we had one person in one of my old churches who used to pray like this. He would start off saying, "My holy, wonderful, glorious, amazing God." And that was the start of his prayer. And he unlocked the side of God that I had never seen really before. This awe, this powerful, but this holy God that sometimes we miss. Now here's one just for us Adventists. There's a pastor by the name of Pavel Goa, and he says this about God's presence in relation to the Sabbath. Listen to this. "If you sanctify the Sabbath by resting, then lazy people sanctify it every day." Now again, let that sink in, because a lot of the time when we think about the Sabbath, we think about how we keep it holy, what we can do to make sure that it's the day of rest. But surely we don't forget that it's God's presence that makes this day holy. Now that can actually go in everything that we do in our relationship as well. And I want you to see this verse that David says about God's holiness and his presence in Psalms. He says it in Psalms 27 verse 4. And he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on his beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple." Church family, may this be the first step to us knowing God truly face to face, to know a balanced view of God. Yes, he is warm. Yes, he is inviting. He is a friend. But he is also fierce. He is also powerful. And there is so much more to him when we truly gaze upon who he is and spend some time being in his presence.
I think the YouTube celebrity status is getting to my head. So the first part of that sermon is God's holiness. You see Isaiah, and the first thing that happens to him is he sees this vision of angels covering themselves from God's holiness. And I want you just to think about your relationship with God and whether or not it's just God is my friend, or is there more of a balanced view of God as a friend and a king who was holy, who wants all praise and honor, but also wants to be by your side. That's super important if we want to have a relationship with him. Now, that's the first part. The second part here is in verse 5 to 7. Let's have a look in Isaiah 6.
verses 5 to 7 particularly. It says, "So I said, woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What immediately happens after he truly feels like he has met God? He falls on the floor and he says, "Woe to me." He feels this sense of helplessness. Maybe he's small. He's not as big as he think he was. In fact, when you read the first five chapters, you'll realize that he says, "Woe to you, Israel," constantly, every single time you read the chapters. And then suddenly, in Isaiah 6, he has a change of heart. He sees God, and then he says, "Woe to me." A huge, huge transformation. There's a quote, and it keeps coming into my mind every time I read this chapter, but it says, "The closer we are to light, the larger our shadow becomes." Think of that, right? The closer we get to God, the more we realize we're not that great. That God is so holy and perfect that we need him. Because the only way that we can truly want God and actually want to have him all the time is to feel like we need him every day. And let's be honest, church, sometimes we wake up in the morning and we don't really need him, hey? Like, there's too much on our plate. Like, work is crazy. Ever since coming from lockdown, there's just zero time to do anything godly. And God will understand, right? He will be okay when I meet him on Sabbath. But what about during the week? God is a holy God, and when we fall to our face flat on the floor, when we be in his presence, that's when we truly know we have experienced who God is. Let me remind you, 15 years it took for Isaiah to truly meet God. How many in this sanctuary have truly met God? How many have not? I pray that it is for me and my will and for Yoshi's as well, that every person who enters this place truly knows what it means to encounter God. That's what it is. That's all it means to come to church. Yes, it's great to have fellowship, and we missed that last year. But really, you think about it, the purpose of us being here is to encounter God and leave this place blessed. Amen, church? That's it. I'm thinking of a story about me and my wife, and wherever my wife is, I forgot to pass this through her. So usually, I get this approved before I say it, so hopefully she's okay with this. Before we got married, I thought I was an okay person, right? Most men think that they're okay, right? Like when they date a girl, and the girl probably thinks that that guy's okay as well. But then you get married, and you start sharing the bed, you start sharing maybe cars, you start sharing the fridge, you start maybe even sharing some toiletries, and then you start to kind of see this real person come out, right? And I'm looking at some married couples, and they're nodding their heads, so they know what I'm talking about, right? And you start to kind of see this true, authentic person come out, and maybe it's not that person that you thought you were before, because you're placed in a different scenario where you have to be who you are. And you can't hide yourself for too long. Eventually, the real you will start to pop up. And then you have kids. And that's when things get crazy, right? That's when you start to really have to work together. And when we think of this idea of who you are, when you are in the presence of God and you truly fall at his feet, you realize that maybe you're not as good as you thought you were. But when you are in the presence of God, he lifts you up. And he wants you to be amazing. He wants you to feel loved, but through him. And this is the important part when we want to know who God is face to face. You need to be able to fall on your feet and realize, I need you, God, every single day. And here's the last point, church. Verse 8, the last verse in this chapter. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And this last part here, Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Again, scholars believe that this was the time when Isaiah was truly commissioned by God. It took 15 years. And sometimes as Christians, we can be like the prodigal son. Now, not the son himself, but his brother, right? Who's not the one that runs away from the father and goes and does crazy things, but there's a brother that's been left behind. And he stays under the father's house the whole time. And yet when the prodigal son returns, he is more converted than the brother. Even though the brother has been in the father's house the whole time. And sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes we can be the converted, and we could be in Christianity or Adventism for as long as we could remember. And yet maybe not truly converted. And yet maybe not truly feeling God face to face. And that is so very important, because when you read John 17, you realize the implications of what it means to know who God is truly. And what happens when you are truly converted, if you want to know if you have experienced God truly face to face, and you've gone through those two steps, you fall on your face flat and you realize God is a holy God and you need him. This is the last step. You say to God, "Here I am, send me." Because when you are truly converted and you know God face to face, you cannot help but want to be used by him. Now, that's not just the pastor getting up and trying to rally the troops to get involved in ministries and for people to be more in the nominating committee. It's more than that, although God does call us to serve in his local church. But I'm talking about that nagging voice in your head. You know what I'm talking about. When you move into a new suburb and you move into that house and you see that neighbor across the road and something in your mind says, go and talk to that person. Or when you're at the petrol pump and you're just wanting to put your fuel in the car and go to the checkout, pay your money and leave, but there's a voice in your head that keeps saying, just be a little bit more happy. Be a bit more kind. Or that voice when you're walking through Melbourne City and you see that guy on the ground with a sign and he says, help me. And we don't just walk past, but you feel this voice in your head telling you, maybe you need to do something. That nagging voice that keeps coming into our mind gets larger and louder if you let it, because it is God speaking to you, wanting you to go. And he wants you to say, here I am, send me. And he's calling to all of us. He's given us all different gifts and talents. No, he's not asking everyone to do what I'm doing, standing up the front and preaching. But he's asking everyone to do what he was creating you to do. And the only way we can do that is to truly know God face to face. That is my prayer. That has been my prayer for a long time. And I want you all to leave this place really seeking and searching where you are with God. I asked the question to the young people only a few weeks ago, put your hand up if you believe after 2020 your relationship has gotten better or worse with God. And I was super impressed, because a lot of them put their hand up and said, yes, it has been good. Praise the Lord. And I know there are some people here who have felt closer to God after 2020. It's given you time. It's given you the space and all of the distractions to go away for you to be able to know God. But now we're back to normal, somewhat. And now the real challenge is laid before us. Do we just go back to the way things were? And I'm not just talking about us as individuals, but us as a church. Do we go back to the way things were before? Or do we want to make things better? Do we want to know God face to face? Do we want to fall on our knees and say, Lord, we need you as a church, and allow him to use one Turner to be sent to the world? That's my prayer for us. And I pray and hope, church, that is the same prayer for each and every one of us here today. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up as we end with a beautiful song, probably one of my most favorite songs. In fact, today, is the day that my father passed away a while ago, and this was his favorite song. And so I want to dedicate this not only to us today as knowing who God is and being closer to him, but I also want to dedicate this to my father as well. Thank you, church.